Tune in to Refresh Radio with Regina Johnson.
Who is Regina Johnson? Regina Johnson.
Author, pastor, motivational speaker, and life coach.
Regina is inspirational,
motivating others to live out their purpose.
Regina is
passionate, tenacious, and relentless about helping others fulfill their destiny. Her goal is to bring a refreshing to someone's life. Join us every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Dial in to share your heart with Regina at 657-383-0309. That's 657-383-0309. And remember that Regina says,
we all know you really haven't failed until you stop trying. I want to be to people what others have been to me. And so that's really the purpose of Refresh. The end of the day, for people to feel refreshed.
So call in at 657-383-0309. That's 657-383-0309. You'll be blessed by her wisdom, strategies, and encouragement. That's Refresh Radio with Regina Johnson, a Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
Good evening. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to Refresh. I'm Regina Johnson, and I am your host. It's being brought to you by NHISG Sports Media. Give a quick shout out to my girl, Princess Cooper. Today's show is going to be absolutely incredible. This show is entitled Between the Lines. It is a story that takes place from not at the beginning of life and not at the end of someone's journey, but in between the lines, what's happening in the middle. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you a heads up tonight. You might hear some ice rattling and cups or people talking. It is because we are at Panera Bread again this week on 242 in Conroe, Texas. We're going to give a quick shout out to Panera Bread. Our guest today is Daryl Powell. Daryl, I want to take this opportunity to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Pastor. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
All right. Well, look, we're going to just kind of dive right in, and we're going to talk about just your life in between the lines, not from when you were born and not the end of the journey. Surely this is not the end, but in between the middle. And so my hopes today, and when I share this, that there will be those that will be able to break past some places that have stopped them from going beyond where God intended for them because of the crisis that is in your life. One of the places that I, as I said earlier, that I really brought you on the show was I wanted to address the fact that your mother committed suicide while you were in the house. I don't want to jump into that right now, because that very well might be someone's story. But I want you to really share with me what you were sharing before break about just seeing a process of feeling like you missed who you were really intended to be at one time in your life, or goals that you were striving for, and even explain, like, you know, goals that you were headed towards, but you weren't headed towards it because you felt like that was your true call. So, Daryl, I'm just going to bring you in. We're going to jump right in it. So, by trade, you were a?
I have over 21 years of employment working as a contract specialist for the state of Texas.
Now, when you say a contract specialist for the state of Texas, could you kind of give me just a little bit of information on what exactly did you do in that position?
In that position, I was responsible for helping get air quality research contracts initiated and awarded to contractors who were responsible for ensuring that air pollution control measures were successful in reducing the amount of ozone levels in certain cities throughout the state of Texas.
Now, with you explaining that to me, right, not just anybody could end up with this job. So you're a bright guy, smart guy. If you want to look at it in the natural, it would seem like you had a very successful career. Is that right?
That's correct, Pastor.
Right. And so, but it didn't start out like that.
No, Pastor.
That wasn't it.
It's quite a different story.
Go ahead and share with us.
Like we talked about before the broadcast, for at least 35 years, possibly even 40 years, I've struggled with depression. And that was in large part due to my not being prepared for life.
Wait a minute. Say that again. Now, you sound like you were a successful man. I mean, under the world standards, what you were doing, I'm sure that it was quite lucrative. And I'm sure that, you know, people really knew your name and you had a very important position. But you're saying that you felt like you were not prepared for life?
That's correct.
Okay, so go ahead and explain.
Well, my history is in part because I was raised by two individuals who became icons in the field of education.
Okay, go ahead.
And if any of your listeners are from Lubbock, Texas, they would perhaps know my mother and father.
Okay.
But because of their career and how successful they were, my father was just a gifted person academically.
Okay.
My mother, on the other hand, had a very strong mind, and so she was very determined to make something of her life because they grew up in an era when the country was deeply segregated.
Okay.
And in 1950, I'll give an example. In 1950, my father had a decision to make.
Okay.
He could either go on and continue his education. He had just graduated, received his undergraduate degree from Jarvis Christian College.
Okay.
And he graduated summa cum laude,
right,
at the top of his class.
Right.
And he had received a full scholarship from the University of Chicago.
Okay.
Now, in the 1950s, that was unprecedented for an African-American male to receive a full scholarship to earn their master's and doctorate degrees from a university. But my father was one of those persons.
Wow.
He chose, instead of continuing his education, to go into teaching.
Okay.
And in teaching, Dad found his footing.
Okay.
His career trajectory took off like he was fired out of a cannon.
Right.
He ended up going from teaching chemistry in a public high school.
Right.
To, at the end of his career, he was vice president of Jarvis Christian College in Hawkins, Texas.
Wow.
My mother, on the other hand, was not quite as gifted as my father academically, but my mother's mind was just as strong.
Wow.
And she was determined to use education to make a better world than the one that she grew up in.
Okay, so when we hear that, I mean, there are a lot of examples of people who had successful parents, but it did not bring them into a place of depression. It didn't like, you know, really pull them off course or cause them to see themselves in a different way. What was that thing that made you feel, feel as if you were not as good as?
Yes, that's the key. You and I had a one-on-one session some months ago, and you said something remarkable to me. You said there is a taproot at play. And I started thinking about that, and I've come to understand that as a child, I had a very happy childhood. I grew up in a household where my parents loved me. I had godparents who loved me. But even as a child, I did not feel that I quite measured up to the academic standards of my father and mother.
Okay.
Now, if they were here, they would tell you otherwise, Pastor.
Okay, and why would they tell me that?
In part because I know
my... Academically, you were strong?
Academically, no. Academically, I was not strong.
Okay.
No. But my mother once told me, she said that you are capable of taking care of yourself. You're able to put food on your table. You're able to buy clothing, and that's all we've wanted for you.
Wow.
And so in our minds, you are a success.
Okay, okay. Now, when you heard that, what was that saying to you?
At the time, it just simply washed off of me like water washes off of a duck.
Okay, all right.
And that's because I was in the throes of depression.
Okay. At what age?
At that age, I would have been about, maybe 40 years old.
40 years old.
Yes. And I'm now on the cusp of being 60.
Wow. And so from, let's just go back to like even your teen years. How were your teen years?
My teen years, I don't think my teen years were any different from the average teenager.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I participated in some sports activities.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, like most teenage boys, we were all interested in girls.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, I was the shy, introverted kind of guy.
Okay.
And even in that scenario, I felt like I was a failure.
Okay.
In terms of even attracting girls from my peers. And I just felt sort of like an outsider,
right,
looking in.
Always. Wow. Okay. So then this depression followed you into your 40s. Now, into your 40s, you were in your career, am I right?
I was well into my career. I had, prior to becoming the reason why I became a contract manager,
right,
was because I had enrolled in law school.
Right.
I got into law school,
uh-huh,
but then summarily flunked out of law school because I was interested in girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really had any desire to be an attorney. I just decided to take the LSAT, which is the law school examination, just on a dare.
Right.
And
you passed?
I got in.
Right.
And quickly discovered that for the first time in my life, I was away from home.
Uh-huh.
I had what I thought was freedom,
right,
but it wasn't freedom. It was really captivity.
Okay.
And I allowed myself to go down a path towards living a life of just a carnal life.
Okay. Okay. All right.
And it affected my academic standing in law school.
Okay. All right. Now, we're going to have to take a quick break, but I want to jump right in when we get back. You were saying, actually, when you entered into law school, You just said it was a dare, but you also said there was a lot of ego that was involved in that. And the reason why we're touching this, and I want you to hang on with us in the show, because we're truly going somewhere that's going to help you, that there are decisions that you have made, that it's not too late. You can turn things around and get on course. We're talking about your beginning might not have started out so great, and your ending has not yet appeared. But if we can get this thing on track right here in the middle, everything can be all right. Hey, look, you're listening to Refresh. I'm Regina Johnson, your host. We will be back in just a moment. The word of God is true. And if he says that he will never leave us, if he says that he is perfecting the things concerning us, then you best believe that he is. We serve an awesome God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. So to my brothers and my sisters, let's gut it up. Because the outcome is going to be great.
Don't miss Refresh with Pastor Regina Johnson, every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Who is Regina Johnson? A wife.
My heart and soul.
A mother.
Strong.
Patient.
Inspiring.
Undaunted. Royal princess.
A pastor.
It's time for me to make up my mind that no matter what's going on, Jesus has to be first.
An author and radio host.
Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome you to Refresh.
Don't miss Refresh with Pastor Regina Johnson every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Johnson, and you are listening to Refresh. We're here today with my special guest, Daryl Powell. And for those of you that are listening, you've been calling me pastor a lot, and that's because he actually goes to our church. Those of you that don't know, I'm a senior pastor of a church here in Texas called The Father's House. So that's why you're going to hear a lot of him saying, pastor, but he's not on the show because he is one of my parishioners. He's on the show because he has an incredible story. Today's story is entitled Between the Lines. It's the story not of your beginning, not of your end, but the things that happen in the middle. And so, Daryl, and I need for you to hang on because today I said it earlier that the reason why we originally brought Daryl into the show, we wanted to discuss with him about surviving the death of a parent. His mother committed suicide while he was in the house. And so we thought we wanted to talk about that, but there's a buildup that I want you to hear. I believe that someone that's listening today really needs to hear how to pick it up and keep going even before great tragedy happens. And I'm not saying that it has to happen, but I'm saying many times that when we can't pick it up and then something does happen, we're unable to pull all the pieces together. So Daryl, you entered into school, you passed the LSATs, right? And yeah. So you entered into law school. Part of that was on a dare. The other part was you shared with me. It's kind of an ego kind of a thing.
It was strictly ego, driven by my ego because I was angry with the direction of my life at the time.
And your direction in your life was going?
In my mind, it was going nowhere. In the mind of my mother and father, I was on the right trajectory.
You were on the right trajectory.
Yes.
Wow.
But in my mind, I wasn't doing...
What was going on? And you said that you suffered with depression. And so had depression set in yet at that time?
I think it had, Pastor. I think depression had set in long before I entered law school.
Now, for those of you that are just now tuning in and you're listening, hearing him say that, it is because he felt like his life wasn't successful. He was living beneath a standard that had been set
in fact,
your own mind.
Yes, in my own mind. I can go back to a time in grade school. And I think I was in the third grade.
Mm-hmm.
I received the results back from a test.
All right.
And the score on the test was like a D.
Okay.
And I heard a voice say, you failed your mother and father.
Wow. Wow.
And that thought stayed with me from that moment to the better part of what happened in church a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you know
what
happened in church.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we can't even explain that.
We can't explain that.
No. Wow. So really what was taking place that day was there was an uprooting of that lie.
Yes.
Where the enemy said that you had failed.
Yes.
For those of you that are listening and you feel like that, not only have you failed like yourself, but you failed your family members, maybe your parents or your coworkers or whatever, there is an opportunity for you to turn it all around and end up going in the direction, because this is not the end of the story. He is actually an author, and the name of your book is called?
Entangled.
If you have not purchased that book,
It's not out yet.
You're working on the second book.
Actually, I'm editing.
You're editing
the first book.
The first book.
I'm getting it prepared for review by a professional editor, and then submitted to a publisher.
Awesome.
So I kind of need both.
So you need both right
now?
Okay, yes. I thought it was already out.
No, not yet.
Okay, well, I would have had a copy, huh, if it was already out.
Yeah.
So just be listening for him. It's Daryl Powell, and the title of his book is called
Entangled. Yes.
And so, okay, moving, we're going to kind of pick it up just a little bit. Okay, so depression came in. Feeling inadequate came in at a very early age.
Yes.
You're doing now everything to try to prove that you are either better or than what you think, trying to prove that there is quality of life.
Of life. In my mind, because of who I was raised,
right.
I just pictured, I held this image of that I was going to be successful and enjoy life much the way my mother and father had.
Right, right.
And I just simply thought because I was Daryl Powell, born to William and Doris Powell.
Right. In that area, everybody knew who they were.
Everybody knew who they were, and right. I simply thought that God was going to just say,
swing the doors open.
Swing the doors open.
Right, right.
I never gave any thought to preparing academically.
Okay, okay.
I never gave any thought to preparing spiritually.
Come on.
For the journey.
Okay.
I never gave any thought to preparing financially.
Come on.
For the journey.
Okay.
I never gave any thought to preparing my body physically, staying in shape.
Right.
All I did was just simply followed my ego, and wherever my ego took me, that's the path I went down. And
wow.
It was usually a path that was laced with
destruction. Destruction. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go into this, you're in a family from the outside, Daryl. When people saw your family, I mean, because like in the area in which you grew up, your parents were well known in the community. As a matter of fact, your father is not just known in the town in which you guys grew up. Recently, after the passing of his life, there was a building that actually was named after him on the campus of Sam Houston University.
That's correct.
Now, we're not talking about just a black university. We're talking about a multi-ethnic university. People know where Sam Houston University is here in the state of Texas.
That's correct.
And
that's
so
correct.
What building was named after your
it's
father?
It's the Student Health and Counseling Center.
And what made that come about? Did your father ever teach on that campus?
No, Dad never taught, but he was the first African-American administrator
wow.
to be hired by that university.
By that university. Wow.
And he came in
at a time that
it wasn't popular. And the school itself was evolving.
Right, right.
In terms of the population of the student base,
right,
it was
right.
evolving.
Right. Wow. So you had some things to have to, you know, really big shoes to fill.
I've lived in the shadow of icons.
Right. And so it was that living in the shadows, right?
Yeah.
Because there are many people, and maybe your parents, you know, maybe they're doctors, but you really don't feel the call in your life to be a doctor, or maybe they're lawyers. You don't feel the call to be a lawyer, but that does not mean that your life is insignificant.
The thing, that's right, Pastor, the thing that I've struggled with for most of my life is constantly telling myself that I'm an abject failure.
When you had a great career.
Even when I had a great career.
Yeah.
And
that paid well.
That paid very well.
Right. Right, which is like, I mean, that's the goal. Get a great job, make sure it's paying, you can buy your own home, you can do your own, and you're doing all of that and still feeling like a failure.
I still felt like a failure. I don't think anyone out there would say that an income where you bring in $60,000 a year means you are a failure.
Right.
But in my mind, I was a failure.
Wow. Well, I got newsflash for you. I know people who are in the six digits and feel exactly like what you're saying. I'm telling you, I can think in my own life and times like $500,000 like coming through, and still was something was missing in my life, right? So you're actually speaking from a place where a lot of people live in that place. And so in, outside of your home, it looked like everything was perfect,
yeah.
But on the inside of your house, explain.
And on the inside of my house, as a family unit, on the surface, everything looked to be in order. My parents are very loving people. I've been surrounded by a loving environment. I have loving godparents, loving god sisters. I have loving cousins and friends.
Right.
But on the inside, I was trapped in a extreme tug of war for the survival of my soul.
Right.
And there were times when I became so frustrated and lost in my depression that I could see how God and Satan were fighting back and forth, and I'm being pulled back and forth. But then the insidious nature of depression is that sometimes
the lines blur.
The lines blurred, and God and Satan were then pulling on me, trying to capture my attention from the same side of the fence, so that the loving grace of God was quickly hidden by the depth of, by the blindness of my
depression.
Yes.
In the middle of your own depression, you watched your mother go through depression also.
That's correct.
Okay, go ahead.
My mother, in the year 2010, I became fully aware of the medical conditions not only affecting my mother,
mm-hmm.
but also my father.
Okay.
And looking at the two of them on the surface, my father had the greatest medical need. He
mm-hmm.
had just recovered from a stroke.
Okay.
Where he lost the use of the right side of his body.
Okay.
And he had congestive heart failure that we did not know had that he was dealing with. We had no clue of it.
Okay.
And he had other issues,
right,
including
right.
glaucoma. But my mother kept complaining about pain in her back.
Okay.
And I wasn't prepared. I had no idea about the magnitude of
the level of pain?
The level of pain that she was dealing with.
Right.
One of our godsons,
uh-huh.
one of my parents' godsons, is a cardiologist.
Mm-hmm.
He and his wife at the time
mm-hmm.
came by to visit my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they could not tell anything about the pain that she was in.
Right, right.
And so, to make a long story short, my mother ended up ending her life around 7:20 p.m. on May 18th, 2010.
Hey, look, Daryl, I'm going to stop you right there because I really want to, there was like kind of a part of that that I want you to be able to share with somebody because I know that someone is listening that needs to hear that. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. I'm Regina Johnson. You have been listening to Refresh. We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back.
She has captivated many. She has allowed herself to be used by God as an example of what a relationship with God really looks like. And now, Regina Johnson Ministries proudly presents Unstoppable You, the brand new book by Pastor Regina Johnson. Order yours today.
To order Unstoppable You by Pastor Regina Johnson, please go to unstoppable.kickoffpages.com.
Get up, get up. Get up, get up.
Yeah. Thank you. on up.
Hi, I'm Regina Johnson. I don't know if you've been listening, but if you have not, you've been missing a great show. This is Refresh. And so today we'd like to welcome back again to the show Daryl Powell. He has been sharing an incredible story. Before we went on break, he was sharing how his mother on
May 18th, 2010,
how his mother took her life while he was there in the house. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so the moments are, the days maybe building up to that, you have been yourself were going through depression.
That's correct.
Feeling inadequate, feeling like you're living beneath the bar, even though you're living quite a successful life, right?
That's correct.
Of people would have loved to have had your life, and but you still felt like you were missing it. You have these parents that are doing these kind of iconic acts, you know. Your dad is teaching or administrating on a collegiate level, and your mom was a successful educator as well. You went to law school. Dropped out of law school, but was able to still continue on, and which, you know, you had your undergrad, right?
That's correct.
You know, it's not like, we're not talking about somebody that did not go to school or you're struggling because all you got was like maybe your GED, even though I want to give a great applause to those that dropped out of school and went back and got your GED. But we're not talking about those things. We're talking about someone, if you look at your life, they would say, what in the world are you stressing over? So you're looking at your life, but you're measuring it by your parents' lives and feeling like you're not quite measuring up.
That's correct.
By this time in your life, you're in your 40s, correct?
That's correct.
You're depressed?
I was extremely
your
depressed.
Parents are ill?
Both parents.
Your mother was actually suffering with traumatic pain.
Is that correct? That's correct.
What was it up to the time to where close to that? What were there any signs that your mother was giving before she took her life?
The only clue that we had, there were two clues. The first one was that for a number of years, mom had complained about pain in her hip, but no one knew what the pain was. She would just talk about how she would have difficulty with her mobility.
Excuse me again.
And she would go see the doctor, come back home, and still complain about the pain.
Right.
And it was after my father had his first stroke and going into 2010 that her problem became more visible.
The pain, or that she herself was
struggling? Actually lost control of the house.
Okay, all right.
And things like sorting the mail on a daily basis became too much for my mother to do,
okay,
on both emotionally and mentally.
Right.
And because of my father's medical condition,
right,
he was frequently in and out of the hospital all
okay.
the time.
All right.
So dad wasn't able to physically help mom out.
Right.
With maintaining
right.
the house.
Okay, so, all right. And how many years was that before it had gotten, had become its worst?
I would say about 2 years before.
About 2 years
yes.
before.
But even then, we didn't have any clue that we were staring at least for my mother, that we were staring at an end. We were on the threshold of an end-of-life moment for her.
Wow. It wasn't medically. It was emotionally.
It was, yes, emotionally.
Yeah. So it wasn't like she had been diagnosed with cancer and had been given 2 years. No. What was happening was she was slowly unraveling.
Yes.
Right, to where she could not hold on any longer. Okay, let's look at, like, the day coming up to that. Any signs there?
The only, again, when I look back on that moment, the only evidence that I had that things were truly, had completely unraveled for my mother is that 2 months prior to her death, I took a leave of absence from my job, went to Huntsville, and brought them to Austin, Texas.
Okay.
And I thought, again, this was my ego. And I was thinking that, well, if I could get them into Austin, I could get them into the medical system that I had the benefit of enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
And if in no time at all, I'd have my mother and father back on their feet and life would return to normal.
Okay.
We get to Austin, and the first thing my mother does is hand me all of her rings.
Wow.
Her wedding ring, the rings that belonged to her grandmother.
Okay.
And the ring that belonged to her mother.
Now, was this on the day before?
No, this was 2 months before.
2 months before.
And
so then she actually was prepping.
I think she was prepping
okay.
at that time.
Okay.
And that was the only clue that we...
That you had.
That we had.
Okay, so...
And I missed it.
Wow. Well, and I hope you don't stand under any guilt of that, because we're not looking for that. That's not what we're looking... When your parents are crying out, you're not looking for them to be saying that. That's not. So for you to have missed it, that was a very natural thing to miss. So I hope that you don't have any guilt about that, you know. And if you did, then I pray you're past that. You know?
I had some guilt.
You had guilt.
I've had guilt, and I even wrestled with that for the better part of the past 6 years.
Really?
Yes.
What you're saying, though, I've heard people say it when they've had close relatives that committed suicide. They were saying, what were the signs that we missed? Did we not hear them? Were they telling us? Were they going through something that we were, you know, that was being overlooked? What was it? So it happened.
It happened, yes.
So the day of when your mother actually takes her life, you were at the house.
I was at the house. We were also joined by my father's sister-in-law. Aunt Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
The day started out. It was just a typical day. My father was in the hospital, and my mother woke up asking for pain medication.
Okay.
And then after I gave her pain medication, Dad called and asked me to come to the hospital.
Okay.
I went to the hospital, and basically. Because he was recovering still from yet another stroke, and because by now he had received a diagnosis of congestive heart failure,
okay.
We were concerned about getting the fluid out of his body.
Okay.
And so I ended up spending most of the day at the hospital with my father, and by the afternoon, late afternoon, I'd return home.
You return home. So when you were in return home, the climate of the house, the atmosphere of the house, was it just normal?
It wasn't normal that day.
Okay.
My mother, the pain and the medication that she had been on over the past 2 months.
Okay.
Took its toll on my mother. And also, I think what was happening to my father played probably the greatest, took the greatest toll on her.
Okay.
The person that I had known for 50 some odd years of my life was no longer with us.
Okay.
And before
me. You're referencing your mother.
I'm referencing my mother.
Okay.
And before me was someone whose personality had just completely changed.
Okay.
We had two difficult conversations that day. The first one was my mother basically told me that she felt abandoned by me.
Okay.
And then we had a conversation about how they were managing the medication that they were receiving when I wasn't around.
Okay.
And that conversation was actually the last conversation I had with my mother.
Okay. All right.
Some things were said that were out of character for me.
Uh-huh.
Some things she replied from a place that was out of character.
And so you were just responding to that?
I was
out of
just
frustration.
Out of a place of frustration,
uh-huh.
and out of a place of concern that
okay.
they might, as friends or housekeepers or anyone in the neighborhood to come help them get their medication in order.
Okay.
And with nobody else, since we didn't, at that time, we didn't have a schedule of administration of medication.
All right.
And so it hit me in that moment that I needed to get their medication in order, in particular, the medication for my father. Dad was taking over 20 different medications.
My goodness. Okay.
And mom, on the other hand, was on controlled substances for pain. So the situation was out of control, and I was concerned about medication being mixed up,
right?
Them getting different medications, and then their lives being put into jeopardy.
Okay,
but my mother didn't understand that.
She was frustrated with you.
She was frustrated with me.
Okay.
I left the room to have the same conversation with my father.
Right.
That conversation lasted about 2 minutes.
Right.
And I hung up the phone and had just laid down on the bed.
Okay.
When I heard the gunshot go off.
So your mother had taken a gun. Did you guys even know she had a gun?
I knew she had a gun. I had actually seen the gun about 6 months prior to the incident.
Had she ever had a gun before this?
Guns have been in our lives.
Been in your lives all the way.
My entire life.
Okay. All right. Until you heard the gun go off.
I actually thought it was someone outside. It was the echo of the shot. I thought the shot occurred outside of the house.
Never thinking that that could be inside of your house. And most certainly not your mother.
That's correct.
So you get up?
I get up. I stick my head out the bedroom door and look towards the front door, expecting to see deer hunters running across the yard,
right,
chasing a deer.
Right.
No movement.
Right.
And then it dawns on me that it's too quiet in the house.
Okay.
Because a gunshot would have triggered my mother screaming and calling for my father or calling my name.
Right.
And I turned around and looked into the back into the interior of the house, and all I see is my aunt coming out of the den.
Okay.
And I didn't see my mother.
Okay.
So I rush into the bedroom, and I see mom lying on the floor. And in that moment, I experienced the worst moment of my life. It was absolute horror. The only thing that I can describe what that moment was like is that I felt like I was 5 years old all over again.
Okay.
And, you know, when you're a child, if our first instinct is when something bothers us is to cry, Mama!
Right, right.
And Mama's right there.
Right, right.
And in that moment, we know that
everything's going to be okay.
Everything's going to be okay.
Right. Right.
And something I kept telling myself, just touch your mother, call her name, and she'll wake up.
Right.
And then I kept hearing this other voice, she's never going to wake up. She's beyond responding to the call of your name.
Right.
She's gone.
Right.
I approached my mother's body. I leaned over. And something spiritual happened to me. I felt a hand reach into the back of my body, grab my spine, and it was like taking a pitcher of water, and I felt lifted up, and whatever I was up to that moment, I was poured completely out.
My God.
And then whatever it was set me back up, pulled me upright, and let go of my spine. And in the process, I had this awareness that my torso had been hollowed out.
Wow.
But it had occurred at a spiritual level.
From a spiritual perspective, right.
And in that moment, I felt confusion. But worst of all, I felt profound fear of God.
Wow.
And anger.
Wow.
With God.
You thought that was God?
I thought that was God.
Wow.
And my reaction was to basically curse God
right.
for taking my mother's life.
Wow.
I blamed him for it.
Okay.
And I told God that whatever differences he had with our lives, that he should have settled those differences with me,
mm-hmm.
not my mother,
all right.
whose life I felt was innocent. I said, the person that's guilty is the one standing over her body.
You felt responsible?
I felt responsible.
For her dying?
Not only for her dying, but if this was an act of judgment over our lives, that's what I was thinking. That if this somehow was an act of judgment over our lives, I am the guilty party.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
And go from 2010
uh-huh.
to a few months ago.
Okay, go ahead.
You and I have had our conversations about
correct.
Depression
right.
and about Mama's passing.
Right.
And part of the reasons why I'm writing this book is because of a verse that God gave to me recently.
Okay.
And that is Philippians. Excuse me, Pastor. In the book of Philippians, the first chapter, verse 6,
okay.
our God says, be confident of this, that he
mm-hmm.
who starts a good thing,
mm-hmm.
a good work,
mm-hmm.
will bring it to completion.
Right.
I had been praying for 30 years
mm-hmm.
for the Lord to touch me.
Okay.
You'd been preaching recently about relationship, developing a personal relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
I had never, although I had accepted Christ,
mm-hmm.
I still lived a cavalier life
mm-hmm.
most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what it means to honestly live and walk by faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I knew in the aftermath of my mother's passing that after the spike in my initial response to God,
mm-hmm.
when the dust from that settled,
mm-hmm.
what was left was still this profound sense that I'm next.
Wow, wow.
That
that's,
I'm next.
That's understandable.
That I'm next.
That's understandable.
And
when did you stop feeling like that, Bill?
It was after reading that verse.
Wow. Knowing that the work that God has begun, he has not completed it.
That's correct. And it came about by accident.
Nothing happens by accident.
I was doing research on my book.
Come on.
And I go to BibleGateway.com,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking for the whole purpose of the book is to, is to build upon what you've been preaching about.
Okay.
Reconciliation with God.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking for verses on reconciliation,
mm-hmm.
verses on peace,
mm-hmm.
and this one pops up, and I see it, and I just begin to read after, after reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And the very next day, that was on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The very next day, we're in church.
All right.
And you start preaching, and we have that moment
right.
where God moved most dramatically in my life in church. What I want people to understand that, and this is what the pastor from the Good Shepherd Mission in Huntsville, Texas, said to my father, me,
mm-hmm.
my mother's sister, her husband, my father's brother, and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
I knew your mother.
Mm-hmm.
I knew her spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know
mm-hmm.
that regardless of how she took her life,
right.
she's still in the presence of God.
Okay.
And that God was with her
mm-hmm.
up to, through, and beyond that moment.
Amen.
And so it's important for people to understand that the sinister nature of Satan is to blur the lines of righteousness and love and make it appear as if love has no meaning, love has no effect on your life. The reality is, the God of the universe says otherwise, that the works he has started in your life, he will bring about to completion, even until the day of the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Don't lose hope. Don't give up hope. Remember to be patient with yourself, to love yourself, to listen, to always tell the people that matter the most to you that you love them. Because they're here today, and in a moment, blinking of the eye, they're gone. And those moments, from that point forward, it's all about the memories that you have.
Daryl, and today you walk from a healed place.
The healing is taking place.
Even now.
Even now.
Yeah.
The healing
yeah.
is taking place yeah. even now.
So you're looking forward to even greater?
I'm looking forward to greater things.
And it's not all over.
It's not all over.
So I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. I want to thank you for your transparency and sharing about your mother's death. But most of all, I want to thank you for sharing about your life. I think that it really benefits a lot of people when they know that even when we make decisions at a younger age, that it can set a course that can lead us down a path where we are no longer excited about life or happy about life.
That's correct.
But I love it because you gave the scripture from Philippians that, you know what, God is well able to complete the work in which he began in us.
Yeah.
And so I want to thank you so much for being on our show today, Refresh, but Between the Lines.
Thank
this
you,
is your sir. Story in the middle, not the beginning, most certainly not the end.
Nothing.
Hey, look, I want to thank those of you that have tuned in with us today on Refresh. I invite you back to be with me next week at 6 p.m. Central Standard, 7 Eastern. You can reach me on Twitter as well. In Twitter, it's Journey Strong, as well as on Facebook. Also, I have a book that I wrote about a year ago called Unstoppable You that I think will be a blessing to your life, and you can get it on Lulu.com as well as on Amazon.com. It will be a blessing unto you. Hey, look, eat enough turkey for me. If you know how to make stuffing, please, would you send me the addressing, because I don't even know how to cook. So it's going to be a pretty scary holiday here for the Johnsons, but I think we might pull it off. I might get some help somewhere. This is a sad, sad sign off. So, you know, send those recipes in to NHISC Sports Media and let me know. I don't know how to make a good dressing. Could you help a sister out? Thank you again for tuning in. You've been listening to Regina Johnson. See you next week on Refresh.